Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Finally, after months of lively debates, nonstop political ads, and sometimes ugly rhetoric, the voters have spoken, and election 2012 is over. There was plenty of drama during the campaigns, with a Mormon at the top of the Republican ticket, flawed poll numbers, a few squeaker races, and record amounts of cash spent on the races. Today on the program, we're recapping the issues, scrutinizing the campaigns, and analyzing the results of Election Day 2012. Joining me in studio is Frank Pignanelli. He's a Democrat, a lobbyist, and a political advisor. He served 10 years in the Utah House of Representatives, with six of those as minority leader. Frank, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Also with us, LeVar Webb, a Republican, a political consultant, and a lobbyist. He previously was policy deputy to Governor Mike Leavitt and managing editor of the Deseret News. And LeVar Webb, it's great to have you here as well. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
And Matthew Burbank, an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. Dr. Burbank, great to have you in the house as well.
Thank you.
Together, Pignanelli and Webb write a weekly political column for the Deseret News, and we'll have links to that on our website, kcpw.org. Later on in the show, we turn to comedy. Comedian Paula Poundstone will join us to talk about improvisation and probably a bit of political humor. But first, election 2012. What races drove you to the polls? How do you think the results will affect your community and the nation? Join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Let's start with the big ticket race. The president, Utah's adopted son, Mitt Romney, garnered nearly 73% of the Utah vote. But alas, he was not as lucky in the key battleground states. LeVar Webb, what happened?
Well, there certainly are a lot of depressed Republicans this morning. I think expectations were very high for Mitt Romney, both among Republicans nationally and particularly in Utah. So it was a disappointment. You know, I think both in that national race and some of the local races, it really came down to fundamentals, to blocking and tackling. The popular vote was very, very close. So Obama certainly did not win any great mandate here. But the Electoral College went Obama's way in a big way. And I really do think it wasn't necessarily the broad messaging and all of that where you have so many close vote, such a close popular vote. But it was targeting. It was looking at the demographics, the coalitions, the messages that had to be delivered to particular groups. And the Obama campaign simply did that better than Romney. And of course, Romney had to run far to the right to win the nomination, and that hurt him in the general election.
Matt Burbank, how did the president do it?
Again, I think a heavy emphasis on get out the vote, and a heavy emphasis on targeting particular constituencies. What you saw, I think, was the growing importance of the Latino vote, and the president's campaign worked very, very hard to get those folks out to the polls. And that's something which, of course, is important for the future of the Democratic Party, but it's always a bit of a gamble that Latinos typically have not turned out in the numbers that other groups have. But you saw in this election a fair amount of enthusiasm, from African-American voters, from women voters, and the president was able to put that coalition together again against, I think, a fair sense that he wouldn't be able to do that. And so, again, I think that's a testament to the targeting and the ability to mobilize voters.
It did mobilize Democrats in the state. Frank Pignanelli, Democrats are rejoicing today, at least on that particular race.
Well, they're rejoicing on that race, and we could talk about why they should be rejoicing and not rejoicing in other races. The bottom line of the presidential race is, in my opinion, you have to have some of the top of the ticket that can connect with people. And yes, you have to have the ground games and everything like that, but Ronald Reagan was able to attract Democrats to vote for him because he was able to connect. Romney was not able to connect. And the other thing is, as LeVar pointed out, that ridiculous Republican primary where he had mostly just, you know, Romney was the sanest person there, but he had to go compete against them. And George Bush was able to get over 40% Latino vote because of all the stuff that Romney had to say. Then you had those crackpots out of Missouri and Indiana that I believe also depressed.
Didn't help.
No, it did not help. And so the Republicans need to figure out, they need to appeal to just more than just white old guys to win this thing.
The Romney tsunami, the idea that Romney's candidacy at the top of the ticket would sweep even more Utah Republicans into office in a state where the GOP already dominates. How did having Romney at the top of the ticket affect state and local races?
Frank Pignanelli. I'm going to pine in because I believe that was going to happen. It was a drizzle. I mean, it wasn't coattails. It was like tiny little shirt tails. Because and maybe that might point to a more significant problem that Romney has national. Because people, yes, people supported him, but he was not able to translate that here in Utah. Because a lot of us thought, okay, this is going to be a sweep for the Republicans. And granted, it was a good Republican year because obviously all the statewide offices. But you did see a huge shift in the legislature. They picked up a couple seats there. But it contributed to Mia Love's vote. But at the end of the day, by McAdams winning, by the county council staying in with the Democrats, there were no coattails for Mitt Romney of any significant length in Utah.
LeVar Webb.
And the coattails in a presidential race generally apply to the federal races, and obviously the Republicans won all of those races big, except Jim Matheson and Mia Love, where it was very, very close. I do think that Romney was probably good for a couple of points there. But again, that race came down to fundamentals and targeting and running a good campaign. Both of those candidates had ample money. The national groups came in and spent enormous amounts of money. I think both of them got their messages across. But Matheson just did a better job of grassroots organizing, of targeting, of getting his people to the polls. He's done this for, half a dozen races now. He knows how to do it. And Republicans tend to underestimate just how strong Jim Matheson is.
Matt Burbank, did you expect more Republicans to win? I mean, they did pick up some seats in the state house. But, I mean, did you expect a sweep from the Romney tsunami, so-called?
What I expected was that in a number of close races, and I think the real question here was in races like Salt Lake County, what were the number of people who came out to vote, particularly for Romney, who otherwise may not have been, you know, very strong regular voters, but wanted to come out and vote for Mitt Romney, might have just voted straight ticket for Republicans. It doesn't look like that happened. What it looks like happened is that Democrats were able largely to survive, and part of that has to do with Democrats running smart campaigns, and Ben McAdams was a good example of this, right, of being able to appeal to Republicans and give Republicans a reason to vote for him, and I think that helped him within the county. Matheson did the same thing, but also I think that it says something about Utah voters, that Utah voters were not simply willing to say, okay, if I'm voting for Mitt Romney, then I'm going to vote for Republicans through the whole ticket. Many of them clearly did not do that because, again, we saw this sort of checkerboard of a pattern.
Romney's candidacy was noted as part of this Mormon moment when the religion was in the spotlight, the national spotlight. Did the Romney campaign help or hurt perceptions of LDS faithful? LeVar Webb?
I think he helped. I think that this, over the long term, this will be a net plus for the LDS church. He won, I don't know how many, 50 some odd million votes, very, very, very close popular vote. So I think toward the end of the campaign, he did find his footing. I think he did connect with people. I would differ with Frank a little bit on that toward the end of the campaign, particularly that first debate. Americans saw a prominent Mormon who didn't have horns and several wives and was a great guy. And so I think over the long run, this will be a very much a net plus for the LDS Church and perception of Mormonism.
We're recapping election 2012. If you'd like to chime in and share your thoughts on the election that just finished yesterday, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We're speaking with LeVar Webb. He's a Republican, a political consultant, and a lobbyist. Frank Pignanelli, a Democrat, a lobbyist, and a political advisor, and political science professor Matthew Burbank. 801-355-TALK is our number. Let's go to Gerald, who's holding in Salt Lake City. Gerald, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would just like to comment that Utah's propensity to vote predictably Republican at the polls might rob us of political capital, because that means that neither presidential candidate really has to bother wooing Utah voters because they know the results. aren't going to change. It's just, you know, it's just disheartening that, you know, every single election, I mean, can't this community just once mix it up and vote Democratic? I mean, it's for no other reason than to get the major political players in the country back east to pay some attention to us out here, because they don't. They don't pay attention to us. And why should they, you know? Why should they? If we're going to go 75% Republican and 25% Democrat, then when it comes to, you know, the major players on the political stage, the presidential candidates, they're just not going to give us the time of day. And I know Romney came out, but, you know, that's because he has strong Mormon roots and he has connections to the Olympics and whatnot. But at the end of the day, they don't care. And why should they? I mean, Utah's not a player. And
Gerald,
we won't be.
Gerald, yeah. Did you vote?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I had to walk. In fact, I live closer to the, I live on 3rd East, and the nearest polling place is on 4th East, and they moved us up the street. So, you know, not only have they gerrymandered one of the poorest communities in Utah and into the one of the most conservative districts, you know, now they've moved our polling place up to 7th East, and many of the people that live in this building, frankly, are disabled. And it's hard to get them out to vote anyway. So,
Gerald, thank you so much for the call and for the thoughts. Gerald sounds a bit deflated by the monolithic GOP in the state of Utah. Talk about political diversity. How important is it? Can it ever be regained? LeVar Webb.
Well, Utah is a center-right state, and I'm glad it is. And I don't think it's going to change any time in the near future. It's been that way for many, many years. I do think that this election did restore a little bit of political balance. Well, perhaps not restore. We came out with a status quo election, but it did. One of the big factors here is Utah and the country really had a flirtation with the Tea Party, moving far to the right. And Obama, we can thank President Obama for creating that whole movement, because he went so far to the left and angered many of the citizens of the country and the state. And so the reaction to that was this Tea Party movement, a move to the right, particularly in Utah. And in 2010, we saw that manifest across the country. We saw it manifest in Utah, where Republicans swept. And now we're going back to normal. And normal in Utah is center-right. We've had a couple of very conservative Democrats serving, the rest Republicans. I think it doesn't bother me at all that, I mean, I do think that Utah's a factor. And all of the states that are predominantly one party or another are still factors. It's just that they have made their decision about where they are. The politicians know their values. The presidential candidates don't have to come to those states to campaign. But they're still important factors. So I disagree with the notion that we are non-factors in the national elections.
Frank, thoughts?
Well, part of the reason why we're non-factors is that, and LeVar and I disagree over Electoral College. I think it should be abolished, because that way a national candidate can put together a coalition of groups of people. And that means that states, all of a sudden, small states will have a role to play. But that's an argument for another day. Utah is a Republican state, and the message that went out, yes, the Democrats, they survived with Mathis, and they survived holding on the county mayor's office, lost some seats, but this is a center-right state, and for it to be more balanced, Democrats have to craft a message as appealing to these people that are right of center. So Matheson survived. You think about this. Matheson survived and McAdams won because they really had to go out of their way to reach out to Republicans. That is the model for success in the Democrats. So from this point forward, and I know there are a lot of your listeners, progressives, but any Democrat who says, well, Jim Matheson does not belong in the party, they're now officially clueless, because you cannot survive in this state without reaching out to or the majority of the people. So the message doesn't mean you have to become conservative, but it doesn't mean you have to craft a message and craft a full philosophy that is comfortable to the majority in the state. That's the biggest signal here, if you want some diversity of political thought.
Some frankness from Frank Pignanelli this morning, Democrat, a lobbyist, a political advisor, also with us, LeVar Webb, a Republican, and a political consultant and political scientist, Matthew Burbank, from the University of Utah Poli Sci Department. We're talking about campaigns, candidates, and controversies in election 2012. If you'd like to join our conversation, who did you support and why? What effect do you think a Ben McAdams administration or a Chris Stewart victory will have on Utahns? You can join our conversation. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, we're talking about, of course, election 2012, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the victors. Joining us this hour, Matthew Burbank, an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. Frank Pignanelli is also with us, a Democrat and a lobbyist, and LeVar Webb, a Republican and a political consultant. Pignanelli and Webb write a weekly political column in the Deseret News, and you can find links to that on our website, kcpw.org. If you'd like to join our conversation, what's your take on the election results? If you worked on a campaign, tell us why you got involved. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Let's get our listeners in on this again. Dana calling from Salt Lake City. Dana, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment that I supported President Obama for this second term. I feel like when a presidential candidate gets in for the first term, they really are just, you know, working on things that maybe they need to clean up or just try to get the face of the people that they're leading. And unless a president really has, really destroyed the country, and I mean destroyed the country, that I think every president deserves two terms. But see that as a me. I'm really disheartened to get on Facebook and see friends and relatives and all kinds of other people post not just negative comments, but pure hateful comments about President Obama winning a second term. Had Mr. Romney won, I was fully prepared to get on, and I still am going to maybe get on and say something positive. But I was fully prepared to say, you know, Mr. Romney, I didn't vote for you, but you have my support. And that's part of what the country needs is, you know, maybe you didn't get your perfect candidate in there, but he's going to be the president. He is the president. And the hateful comments just further divide people and I've actually really thought about unfriending people. I know it sounds immature, but just because I can't believe some of the stuff I'm reading.
Dana, so, thank you so much for that call. Matthew Burbank, the yearning for civil discourse. Will people come together after a very rancorous political season that we've had?
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting about the kind of overall picture here is that more or less you have the status quo, right? What you had before the election, you largely have after the election. And it's really hard to see how things are going to change there. I don't see a big change in those kind of divisive attitudes. The Obama campaign clearly was hoping that what would happen is once the president's reelection was out of the way, then perhaps the conditions are in place to make a deal. That, I think, is still the hope, and I think that there's at least some indication that that might happen. But the reality is that, again, it was a close election. There was very strong feeling on both sides, and that's not going to go away immediately, and we wouldn't expect that it would. But I do think that there is at least some indication that for those people who won and those people in the past Congress, there's a clear sense that there are some big decisions that need to be made right away and that they're going to be very important for the country.
On the local level, we've talked a little bit about the Democrat Ben McAdams in the Salt Lake County mayor's race. His whole campaign was built around this idea of reaching across party lines and building coalitions and getting rid of the divisiveness that a lot of voters see as a big turnoff. I mean, I guess it worked for him. Frank Pignanelli?
The average voter in this country and in this state is much like Dana, the listener we just heard from, because they do want, at the end of the day, they want someone to try to solve their problems. And what you had from Congressman Matheson and Ben McAdams is, I may be a Democrat, but I have all these Republicans supporting me because I'm more concerned about solving problems than anything else. And that actually has to be the message for elected officials. And I even suggest, especially in Salt County, that's what Republicans are going to have to do. They're going to have to show that they're problem solvers and they're just not ideologues.
LeVar, you think that's going to happen?
Well, at the national level, it's all going to depend on the Republican House and the Democratic president. And if they, if both sides are willing to move to the to and compromise, then something positive may happen. I have grave concerns whether that really will happen. If President Obama governs as he has in the past and tries to grow government, does not deal realistically with the deficit, with the entitlement problems that we have, then I don't think Republicans are going to be willing, the House is going to be willing to let him do that, and I don't think they should. What I hope is that both sides will really compromise, will legitimately decide what will move this country forward, and both sides are going to have to give in. But I think it's going to be tough at the national level. I think there's going to be some real problems. We do face this immediately fiscal cliff and so forth. I think in Utah we'll get along fine, and Utah will do well.
What about at the local level, though, LeVar? I mean, do you see Republicans willing to reach out and negotiate, work with the very few Democrats that are left on Capitol Hill?
No, because they don't really need to. I mean, Ben McAdams was effective in the state Senate because he did work across the aisle and he wasn't an ideologue. And so in that sense, I think the Republicans and Democrats, if there are Democrats like him, that they can get along and so forth. But the Republicans will have to deal with the factions in their own party. They have such large majorities that they do have a moderate faction and an arch-conservative faction. And I do think the more moderate, the more mainstream faction is in the majority. But the Republicans don't have to worry a whole lot about the Democrats.
They don't. Right. But I'm gonna twist this around a little bit. This is an opportunity for Democrats now in the legislature because they're smaller in number. But, for example, on health care reform, the legislature and the governor are soon going to have to deal with issues with health care. Is it a state exchange? Is it a federal exchange? And all this stuff. In the past, local Democrats said, all we want is Obamacare, pure and simple. Well, fine. That pretty much means Republicans make the decisions. I do believe Republicans will say, we would love to have Democratic input on a state model of health care reform, which means the Democrats are going to have to give up a little bit, saying, okay, we're not going to get all the whole thing. So I think there's an opportunity, especially with health care in the next couple of years, for a handful of Democrats and Republicans, because I think both sides want to be effective that way. It's an opportunity where we're both going to have to bend, especially the Democrats in the state on this one.
Dana, thanks so much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, if you'd like to join our conversation about election 2012. Let's go to John calling from the Avenues. John, hi.
Hello, Jennifer. It's John McCarthy calling. I'm the poll manager at the Horizonte Institute, and talking about emerging people within our culture here in Utah from foreign lands. Ordinarily, we have about, maybe out of our 2,000 registered voters, we have about maybe 65 people show up for an election. And yesterday, we had almost 700 people show up. So quite a groundswell of newcomers to Utah that I think will have a significant effect on the Democratic Party and the Republican Party as time goes by.
John, thanks for the observation. Matt Burbank, talk about the turnout.
Well, turnout was, at least in Utah, looked very good this year. We saw very good numbers in early voting. And again, a lot of that we suspect was due to the fact that Mitt Romney was at the head of the Republican ticket, and so that attracted voters. But also, I think what you saw nationally was, again, because there were such efforts by both major parties to try to turn out their supporters, that you did see good numbers. And again, in an election campaign that otherwise was not terribly inspiring. There were not a whole lot of kind of big, clear issues. There was an awful lot of negativity on both sides. But one of the things I think that was very good about the campaign was that you did not see the kind of worst-case scenarios that might have happened. Again, questions about religion did not really come up. Questions about ethnicity or race did not really feature very heavily. And so I think there was a clear sense that while there was a high level of partisanship, that the race did not get as ugly as it might have been. And so in that sense, it was very good, even though, again, in terms of overall campaign, it was hardly an inspiring campaign, I think.
801-355-TALK is our number. John, thanks for the call. 801-355-8255. I want to turn back to the Salt Lake County races. The county council incumbents swept it. I mean, they really stayed in place. Voters did replace a Democrat with a Democrat. Sam Granata will take over where Janie Iwamoto leaves off. How is a McAdams administration going to interface with a majority of Republicans on the council? Any insights there, Frank?
Ben McAdams, who's been working with Salt Lake City and has been on the Capitol Hill, you're not going to find a better person who's going to be able to interact with Republicans. I mean, a lot of Republican senators really like Ben because of his approach. He's not this firebrand Democrat, but someone who really wanted to, solve problems. He worked for Ralph Becker, who's also big in outreach. What you can find out is that Ben McAdams is going to be very popular with the Republicans and the Democrats in the county council and do a nice job building consensus, because that's who he is, that's his experience, that's what he did in office, that's what he did when working at Salt Lake City.
LeVar, did you have something?
No, I don't disagree with that. The county does face some big issues, and I think this is one where Republicans and Democrats can come together and accomplish some things. You know, the Mill Creek vote, the incorporation vote, is a illustration of an issue that needs to be dealt with in the county, these annexations and incorporations and the islands of county-governed areas and the low tax base. I mean, those are some big issues and others that county leaders need to come together, and I think that they will be able to do so.
I want to touch on the Mill Creek incorporation, a tough defeat for incorporating the Mill Creek area. 59% of voters saying they did not want to become a city. Just curious, is this issue dead? Does the vote settle the question?
I don't think so. Taylorsville took several votes, for example, before they became a city. One of the issues with Mill Creek is that Mill Creek actually had the opposition to incorporation actually had a face with Mr. Dudley, who was a longtime resident. The proponents, there were there's a lot of people supporting it, but there was never really a face to it. And they had a hard time constructing arguments for it. And I think, they'll do it. There'll be another drive, because with getting 40%, you have a lot of people that still want to be a city. They'll have to learn from those mistakes, because if you don't have a face to, if you don't have a clear message, those kind of things will lose, and so they'll have to develop that.
Curious, back to the Obama victory. I mean, what is that going to mean for the ongoing interface that state government has to have with the feds? I mean, we were talking about the public lands debate and health care, and I mean, because Obama was overwhelmingly defeated in this state. I mean, what does that mean for the state relationship with the federal, LeVar Webb?
Well, that will be very interesting, because there are some big public lands issues that are facing us out there. Energy development is going to be a really big issue in the future out in the Uinta Basin. There's enormous deposits of energy, most of it on federal land. The health care issue, whether Utah accepts the Medicaid money to expand Medicaid or not. That's just an enormous issue. So Utah's going to have to figure out how it deals with this administration. But not just Utah. Across the country, there are quite a few more Republican governors than Democratic governors. In fact, Republican governors picked up a few seats in this election. And so this whole issue of balanced federalism, which is something I care about, and what ought to be done at the federal level and the state level, I think is something that needs to be sorted out. I think we would have been able to do it much better under a Romney administration than Obama. But the states are going to have to deal with Obama now for 4 years, and Utah in particular has some very big issues.
Matt Burbank, any observations or thoughts on how the state is going to renegotiate its position within the 50 states of the nation?
Well, I think certainly that, again, many people in Utah were looking forward to a Romney administration, because Utah, frankly, would have been better positioned in that case. So I think for many people in Utah, there was a sense that they did have a personal investment in who the president was. But again, President Obama was reelected. And I think on a very basic level, things don't change all that much. Again, the policy is not going to change very much in Utah. Policy at the national level is not going to change a whole lot. And I think that Governor Herbert and the members of the state legislature are perfectly capable of sitting down, looking at Utah's interest and making informed decisions. I think the big question is what happens with the rhetoric. And what we've seen with the rhetoric, particularly from Governor Herbert and others on the Republican side, has been extremely inflated given what was at stake. Because again, energy policy doesn't change all that much. It didn't change all that much under Obama. It wasn't as if somehow there was a big radical change, but the rhetoric made you think that it was. So I think that again, what will largely happen is that the existing office holders in Utah will make the best decisions possible given the information that they have, and I don't expect there to be big changes there in terms of Utah policy or in terms of federal policy.
We've talked a lot about Republicans sweeping back into office. Senator Orrin Hatch, an easy win for a seventh term. Jason Chaffetz, no challenge there. The unknown is this new congressman we have, Republican Chris Stewart. He's going to be representing Utah's District 2 in the House of Representatives. Any forecasting on the issues that he'll pursue? LeVar Webb.
He represents the largest rural district in the state, the largest district geographically of all of them, but ironically, he also represents downtown Salt Lake City. And he lost in downtown Salt Lake City, one big elsewhere. His district goes up into Davis, part of Davis County, and then clear down the western side of the state, down into Washington County and Kane County and so forth. So he has a big big public lands, big rural constituency. Also, like I said, Salt Lake City. I think people will be surprised by Chris Stewart. I think that he will be very mainstream. I think a lot of Democrats thought that he was this far right, religious crazy person, but he's very soft-spoken. He listens to people. I think he will be a good congressman and govern in a very mainstream sort of way.
Frank, do we have any indication that he will work across party lines?
I think so. Where I've been impressed with Chris Stewart is a lot of Utahns don't realize this, but one of our biggest economic engines in the state is financial services. And after he won the nomination against Dave Clark, who worked for Zions Bank, he said, I want to get on the House Financial Services Committee because Utah's one of the largest provider of financial services in the country. And he said, I want to get on the House Financial Services Committee to protect that, which suggested to me, okay, this is a gentleman that understands, how to solve problems and things like that. And so I think you'll find that from Chris. Chris is conservative. Chris also served in the Air Force. He has a great story to tell there. So I actually think you'll see somebody there who right away got the, we need to help solve some of these problems in Utah, providing these services across the country. So I'm optimistic about Congressman Stewart.
Three presidential candidates with Utah ties. We don't have much time, but I would love for each of you to touch on what goes next for Rocky Anderson with the fledgling Justice Party. What is next for John Huntsman, and what is next for Mitt Romney? Matt Burbank, let's start with you.
I think for Mitt Romney being the most the largest person on the scene there, I think that again I don't foresee him having more of a political future. I think this was his
he's been
big
running
shot.
For 8 years.
He has been, and again I think it is now in a position where other people, Paul Ryan and others, are going to be the future candidates in the Republican Party. John Huntsman, again, I think that he was severely disappointed with his treatment in the Republican primaries, and I think what you will see there is he's very likely to be back involved in public office in some aspect. I think that he's a very talented guy. He's a person with a lot to contribute, and so I suspect that he will be back in public office in some way, shape, or form. With Rocky Anderson, again, I think that this was an example of running largely because he wanted to do this. He wanted to be on the stage again. But again, I don't foresee any kind of big political future there for him. So,
LeVar Webb.
I think any Romneys in the future will be Romney's sons. And I do think that there will be some political ambitions there in the various states they live in, including in Utah with Josh Romney. So I think we can see some future candidates there. I think John Huntsman will look for an opportunity. He he will flirt with the idea perhaps of a third party, particularly if gridlock and dysfunction continue in Washington. Then you could see him out there leading an effort saying this isn't working. Both these parties are unable to get the job done. Let's do something different. So I think that he will look for opportunities. He'll see what might be possible. I have no idea what Rocky Anderson will do.
And Frank Pignanelli, last word.
If Obama was smart, and I hope he does this, realize he got some bad advice on some of the things and put together some type of council of business advisors, I hope he would ask Governor Romney to serve on that. I think you will see some opportunities for Governor Romney that way. John Huntsman, if he had been the nominee, he would be moving into the White House in January. I believe John Huntsman has tapped into this libertarian bent with the young Republicans, which is they're just only going to grow. I think you're going to see more of him either as a candidate in 4 years or as a leader of this movement, so the Republican Party or some other movement. He's articulate, and I think he's tapped into something. As to former Mayor Anderson, I don't know where he's. Don't be surprised if he comes back to the Democratic Party and runs against Chris Stewart in 2 to 4 years. Don't be surprised about that. I mean, other than that, he got 4,000 votes, so he's got 4,000 Utahns who are dedicated to him. The person to watch is John Huntsman, because I believe he really is onto something.
I will hold on to these predictions. We will regroup in a couple of years. Frank Pignanelli, a Democrat, a lobbyist, and a political advisor. Frank, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
LeVar Webb, Republican and political consultant and lobbyist. LeVar, it's great to have you. Thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
And Matthew Burbank, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Utah. Matt, thank you very much for your analysis.
My pleasure.
And you can follow KCPW's full election coverage on our website, kcpw.org. You can hear more reaction and analysis during our local newscast this afternoon. Coming up next, the spontaneous humor of Paula Poundstone. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.